Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get a moon in there. Come on, do it.
Moonshine. Yeah. She. Does he ever go on tour anymore?
I believe so.
Yeah. To her apologies.
What, isn't he playing with Steely Dan as part of the Doobie Brothers? Aren't they?
He's not with the Doobie Brothers, is he?
Can't be.
Wasn't Michael McDonald?
It's Michael McDonald.
Alone.
He doesn't tour with them
solo.
Hold on, let me Google current Doobie Brothers.
That's what you should do.
Power.
Current members. Yep, he's not in there.
Oh, damn it!
There you go. There's your answer. He's not in there. All right, let's get to it. The frozen body.
Let's do it.
Dan in the car. Frozen solid lady in Minnesota.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got with us?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, that's great.
So look up this lady. Her name is Jean Hillard. It happened in 1980 in Minnesota. She crashed her car, was trying to find shelter in negative like 22 degrees.
Yeah, we've been
weather.
Out there. It's cold.
Very cold.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this has nothing to do with a freezer. It's some woman stuck outside.
Same
like,
thing,
like
no?
Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yeah, so she was frozen solid. Rescue workers found her. They brought her to the hospital, started thawing her out. She ended up coming back to life, and then she didn't have any frostbite, nothing.
What?
No.
Didn't lose any limbs or anything like that.
He's right.
She's perfectly preserved like the woolly mammoth.
Jean Hillard made a full recovery after she was found frozen in sub-zero temperatures.
No. No way.
Well, Zoe, you were watching that Everest movie the other day when I was watching at the same time.
Yeah.
The surgeon from Texas, Beck Weathers.
Yes.
He was out exposed.
Exposed?
At, I think, Camp 4, which is, I don't know, 22,000 feet or something
like
crazy like that.
The third next to the highest. Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. It's the last one before you go up to the top, out all night, frozen, woke up. And he's like, oh, I'm cold. Walked back to camp. I mean, he lost a hand, lost his nose, lost a foot, I think.
Oh.
But he was frozen.
Hillard collapsed on a 22 below zero night as she tried to seek shelter after a minor car accident. The young woman was found frozen solid approximately 6 hours later and brought to a hospital. She breathed shallowly three times a minute, and her heartbeat faintly 8 times a minute. The doctor at the hospital, Dr. George Sather, said, I thought she was dead, but then we picked up an extremely faint whimper, and we knew there was a person existing.
Oh, my God.
Although her chances of surviving were rated slim.
Like, if we were in Minnesota.
Her body temperature didn't register, which means it was less than 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
You can
the doctor said there was no evidence of a pulse or blood pressure. Her body was too frozen to find a vein to even get a pulse.
You can see this happening when we were in Minnesota. It was so cold, we couldn't stand outside for 2 minutes. Seriously, if, say, Beetle was driving like he was down in Houston, and we ran off the road, we'd have to literally spoon in the back seat of the car to keep ourselves alive, just to generate the heat.
Freezing victims have recovered fully even after prolonged periods without heartbeats.
It's unbelievable.
The human body reacts to extreme cold much like a hibernating animal. How about that?
You know what? There are some issues, and I know some kids have got through this.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. The guy, in Evil Genius, the one who ended up in the freezer, he got shot.
Yeah, he
got shot in the head.
Then he was going to get cut up.
He was dead.
I get the razor here. We melted down the shotgun.
They shot him and then they froze him.
We shot him and I...
He loads her up, takes her to the hospital. It's about an hour. They get there at about 8 a.m. The doctors feared that she would die mainly because, like, she was so cold they couldn't even take her temperature. if they tried to give her anything like a shot, you know, intravenously, the needle wouldn't pierce her skin.
Oh my god!
She was a frozen stiff.
She was like a shark. Wow!
Not just a dead stiff, but frozen stiff. Whew. Okay, refrigerator guy.
You gotta have thick skin, man.
What do you know about such things?
I do commercial refrigeration.
Yeah.
Those temperatures, talking about negative 10, like, in a restaurant with a commercial freezer.
Yeah, it's like where the mob is, and they keep
the
bodies in the freezer.
A body?
Yeah, and to freeze a 200-pound man, I don't know, I would assume it would take 15, 20 hours.
All right, so you could do it in a day.
That's what I said, 2 days.
Frozen solid in a day, that's impressive.
How long was Frankie Carbone in the meat truck before they found him, while Layla was playing in the background? He's frozen solid. They had to let him thaw for a couple of days before they could...
John in the truck, what do you got on that?
Yeah, he just stole my thunder on that. It took him 2 days to frost him, and so I would figure it'd take at least 2 days to freeze him.
Well, it took four. It took 4 days to thaw him out.
If you can't trust a Hollywood mafia movie, what else can you trust?
Well, Scorsese, you can trust everything you learn in Goodfellas. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm guessing 48 hours to get it rock solid. Like, you could freeze it and be frozen.
Well, that was more about the amount of time for him to unfreeze. Yeah, we are trying to figure out how long it was. How long to freeze the body solid? There's only one way to find out.
You've been in the wild. Who's in that freezer?
Who's small enough here at the radio station we could shove him in the top freezer there in the kitchen?
The intern.
Sosie? Put the intern in.
Sosie? How about Howie?
Tom and Beverly.
Put Howie in.
Tom?
Sosie.
Yeah.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, Scott. Don't hang up on me because I got a little bit of a story. First of all, I've been trying to get you forever because I've been a season's ticket holder for 29 years, okay? And I was the one that wanted you playing quarterback instead of Bledsoe.
Oh, I love you.
You were the one.
You were the one guy.
Nah, there was a couple.
There's a bunch.
But, because we were in the first row down in section 105 area, nice. 106 on the Patriot side. But, the whole thing is, this movie, I'm really not interested in this movie. I'd like to hear a little bit more about sports. I listen to Toucher and Rich talk all this stupid stuff.
Yes,
Zell's not even listening to you. He's texting. Someone right now.
Zell tuned you out.
Your biggest
30 seconds ago.
Your biggest fan, Zell, on the phone right now, and you're still.
Hey, who wants more sports?
Who are you texting? What is so important?
I'm texting you guys.
That's a lie.
I did.
All right, nothing but sports the rest of the
week. We're going to do sports in the last hour of the show.
All right, we're going to make Tom happy.
Tom reprogrammed our show now.
Fine.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah! All right, we're doing sports.
Sports, nothing but sports.
Sports talk.
I want nothing but sports the rest of the way.
Read like a book about sports. Read it. Read the book, sports.
You got a look, sports book?
Stop.
Don't do that. Don't make me laugh. That's not funny.
But it is.
What are you in my ear about, Jim? I'm looking at
what, Jim?
What happened with
Mannix has an update on Kawhi.
What's his update?
Kevin.
No, Chris
Mannix.
Nephew Chris
of
Chris
Kevin.
Mannix has what? Hold on. Please hold. Update. How the Spurs are operating, per multiple sources from teams that have checked in on Kawhi Leonard in recent days. We're not shopping him, but if you want to make us an offer, go ahead. We'll consider it.
That's posturing.
That's such posturing. You know what that's? You know why they do that? They do that to create the illusion that we don't need to trade him. We don't need to move him. You want to try and make us an offer? We'll listen, but you're going to have to give us so much, you're going to have to bring us to the table. You're going to have your offers be so good just for us to even listen. Stop it. Stop. You either want him or you don't. That's what it comes down to with that player. You either want the guy or you don't want the guy.
Right.
And I think given their situation, they probably want to move on. Wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah. I got to pull that crap again. What's to say he wouldn't never do it again? You on a hook for it? No. No, thank you. Ship him out. Get rid of him.
617-779-0985.
But I'm with you. I wouldn't take him for draft picks. It wouldn't just like for four picks. No, no, no. If coach veteran teams here, I'm a veteran coach. I need players. It's like Doc Rivers didn't want to be part of a rebuild, right? That's one of the reasons he left. He wanted to coach veteran players. Well, that didn't work out for him. But some coaches are like that. Can't see him just saying, hey, let's just swap him for picks.
Jimmy's in Quincy, ain't Jimmy?
Jimmy!
Yeah!
What do you got?
Hey, I know you guys love Ray Liotta, Shades of Blue, with Lopez there. Have you seen that yet?
I like him in Copland.
Yeah, have you seen this? He's a lot like Copland.
Okay.
And he's really screwed up, and Lopez looks great in it.
Oh, all right.
Is there any sports in that movie?
We can only talk sports.
We can only talk sports.
Well, Ray Liotta was in Field of Dreams, so there's your sports connection.
Is boating a sporting thing?
Shoeless Joe Jackson, he played.
Shades of Blue was on NBC. Network TV, not.
Hardy, you're a boater.
Not really the best stuff. Not really the best stuff.
43 years ago today, Jaws debuted in theaters. And no one ever swam again that summer.
You didn't say that. Someone else said that. That was a tweet.
I just saw a tweet.
Someone tweeted that.
Yeah, somebody tweeted it.
Okay.
Boating's not a sport. There's no sports in that movie either.
43
years. So we can't talk about it. 43 years, and it's timeless. I mean, it works. You can sit there and watch it. My kid watches it. He loves it. 43 years. Man.
Yeah, there's really no sports in that movie, is there?
No.
No football on the beach?
Not on the beach. There's arcade. How about the arcade on the beach? Not like playing an arcade where you can't see the screen on a beach. That's got to be fun.
What's the dog's name?
Pippet!
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 Here, Pippet! Here, Pippet boy!
Pippet!
Pippet girl!
Pippet!
Chief Brody, you knew that shark was out there, and my son is not here.
You sound just like her.
I know.
It's amazing.
Spot on. Absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
You nailed it, so.
What kind of sports are we going to do?
I don't know. You pick. We got Brady.
Phil Mickelson has made an apology.
Sale?
Hold on.
Oh, I want
to
hear that.
I want to go to Mr. Golf Etiquette over here. Go ahead. So Phil spoke.
He has finally spoken. 4 days after he hit the moving ball at the U.S. Open, he apologized today. He said, quote, "I know this should have come sooner, but it's taken me a few days to calm down. My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. I'm embarrassed and disappointed by my actions. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I'm sorry." Good. He still should have withdrawn. Whether or not he got DQ'd, well, that was the decision made by Mike Davis and everyone at the USGA, who said, "We clarified, Phil, you made a stroke in a moving ball, so we're going to apply that rule." They applied the wrong rule. He knows the rules. There was no chance. And whether he meant disrespect or not, who cares about respect? He blatantly cheated. He hit the ball as it was moving to keep it from rolling back off the green and down into the fairway and being embarrassed out there even more. So you're not playing the game anymore. Just finish the round and say, "I'm not coming back on Sunday because obviously I'm out of it." And if you don't think I'm out of it, did you see what I did earlier in the third round? I pretty much quit. I did quit. At that point, I quit. But at least he took a little more responsibility for it, a little bit.
That doesn't...
somebody got to him. He didn't go home.
It doesn't seem genuine.
No. Yeah, he probably heard it from a group of people. It's just like, you know, I'm going to put the statement out. Deal with it. I'll just do it. Better off not saying anything.
You don't think like any of his sponsors got upset?
No, yeah, one, KPMG or whatever.
Did any of his sponsors get upset, do you think, Hardy?
What's he at?
I mean, Money Talks, right? You always follow the money trail.
Is he Callaway, Hardy?
What if one of his sponsors
is, but
said,
he wears the investment thing, like,
yep, KPMG,
biggest on his shirt. Callaway is just on a sleeve, which is odd. I would think that, I don't know. Something tells me the people at Callaway know enough about Phil to know it's like, yeah, we'll pay Phil, but we don't necessarily want to be, you know, front and center with Phil. He's a good player and all, but there's a lot going on with Phil that you may not want to necessarily associate yourself with 100% if you can help it. company like Callaway's got a lot of good golfers out there. They don't need Phil Mickelson to sell their stuff. So, sure. We'd be proud to have Phil play our stuff. Is he a quote-unquote Callaway guy? Well, let's slow down on that for a second. He's one of the best players in the world, has been for a long time. If he chooses to play Callaway, that's great. That's a great endorsement for our product. Is he a Callaway guy?
Yeah.
Easy. Mm. Easy. He knew exactly what he was doing, and then he tried to jive his way out of it, which Jack is what turkey. He does. This is what he did with the stock tip yep. thing. That's why there are two guys sitting in federal prison right now and not him.
You screw up, you apologize. You screw up, you apologize. You screw up, you apologize.
Yeah, you lose $1 million betting on a golf course. If you're Phil Mickelson, you reach into your pocket and you pay the bet. What you don't do is say, "Oh, yeah, hey, help me out with this thing." And the guy says, "Oh, I'll get a stock tip from my buddy in Texas who runs the company. He'll tell me when the company is about to go public or the stock is about to split, whatever the hell it was." He told Billy Walters. Walters told Mickelson. The guy and Billy Walters are both in prison, but Mickelson got away with it. Made $940,000 in a day on a stock tip,
wow.
paid off his gambling debt, and then ratted those guys out and stayed out of jail.
That's why when I hear this apology, I'm like, that's not who this guy is.
No.
Mr. Apology?
No, who he is the guy who makes tens of millions of dollars in endorsements, way more than it is winning, and then has the audacity, the gall, to complain about the taxes in California, how he's just going to have to leave the state. I can't afford to live here anymore.
Good, so leave.
People swoop down on that one faster than anything. Hey, fella, there are the actual people who that affects who live in California and just can't pick up and leave. You can live wherever you want. You've got enough money to live on the moon if you want to. You want to move, move. Just don't bitch about it. He's a whiner.
Indeed. Absolutely true.
He backed off that one real quick. This one took him a few days.
Yeah,
but
it took him a while to come around.
Backed off this one, too.
Joshua and Clinton. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's up?
What's up, so? Hardy, your point is I don't know why everyone's making such a big deal out of the whole Mickelson thing. It's kind of silly to me.
Oh, that was awesome.
He did what he did, and just whatever. Move on, get over it, whatever.
Well, yeah, he should have.
Don't say anything. Move on.
Yeah, he cheated in the middle of a round, like in the middle of an actual shot, and he knew exactly what he was doing, so he quit on the round. He was so far out of the tournament, he should have just withdrawn instead of trying to say, "Oh, it's actually a very calculating move. I knew it was a two-stroke penalty for hitting the ball while it was in motion." It's nonsense.
It's a weasel move. It was.
It's a total weasel move. He should have quit. Yeah. He should have quit the tournament. A lot better players than him have withdrawn for better reasons.
Exactly.
He would have saved a lot more face and had a lot more respect for me and a lot of other people had he just withdrawn. I don't need anyone to disqualify him for being disrespectful. That's stupid. Just withdraw.
And now he's lost some credibility, and that's
absolutely
gonna hurt him down the road.
Absolutely.
And hey, I wanted to say, Hardy, too, I checked out Corbin. That place is awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Very good.
Hardy has our headlines. We come back. What Kyrie Irving said in his interview in The Undefeated. Want to touch on that? Today's takeaways at 1:50.
Sports Lines.
Couple of World Cup finals to tell you about earlier today. The first match of the day, it was Ronaldo scoring the one and only goal for Portugal as they beat Morocco 1-0.
Is Ronaldo around?
Yes, he was, and he scored that one goal in the fifth minute of that match. Also today, Uruguay beat Saudi Arabia 1-0. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Iran will take on Spain. Also tonight, the Red Sox play the middle of their three-game series against the Twins in Minneapolis. It'll be David Price taking the mound, at Target Field for the start. He's 8-4 in the year with a 3.76 ERA. Chris Sale was out there for seven innings last night, allowed two runs on three hits, but the Sox lost 6-2. NHL awards also happened tonight. Patrice Bergeron once again up for the Selke. Just given out to the best defensive forward. Bruce Cassidy nominated for the Coach of the Year, the Jack Adams Award. Headlines are brought to you by D'Amico Dental Care in Watertown. Tony Maz's dentist, celebrating 25 years. If you break a tooth, do what Maz did and get a crown in a single visit. D'AmicoDMD.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
Is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High school sweethearts,
yeah,
love was so brand
new. At 17 we fell in love. High school sweethearts, love was so brand new. Yeah, we took the vows of man and wife. Yeah, forever for life.
I remember how. Is this the Commodores?
This is not. This is
who's this?
This is no, don't say it.
Does
it too? Earth, Wind, and Cool Fire. In the Gang.
Nope.
Cool in the Gang, right? Yes. I knew I'd get it.
Too hot. This isn't Cool in the Gang.
It is.
Oh yeah, yeah. They sing Celebration. I'm thinking cool of thinking of KC and the Sunshine Band.
Right.
My bad. Cool in the Gang. That's me. Bingo.
Kyrie Irving to the undefeated. He is doing interviews left and right. Question. Kevin Durant recently said he could see himself retiring at 35. Do you see yourself retiring at around that age? He says, what's funny is, I've actually talked to him about that. Basketball really is a great vehicle to get to different places in your life.
Oh, God.
And I think that...
I'm so tired of the thinking athlete.
Now this.
The thinking athlete.
And I think
we just get guys that want to play ball for the respective teams
right.
and love the passion to play the ball instead of worried about what their sport's going to do as a vehicle to get them to some other point in their life.
And I think that the value for some individuals would change over time. It gets really redundant at times.
Put the ball in a hole.
Answering the same questions every time you go into a season. The same things just over
dribble,
and over.
Just
oh,
dribble.
How horrible it is to be a professional athlete and play a sport.
Such a great vehicular tool to elevate me to another point where I can think that I will be mentally as a person when I'm
35. He says, after a while, you just become dedicated to the perfection of the craft rather than being enthralled with the lifestyle of being an NBA player. Okay, that's a good thing. That's good. He says, I think that's part of not necessarily wanting to be subjected to just being an NBA player anymore. Business interests, art. You can go into real estate. You can dive into so many different avenues. And once you aren't necessarily committed to the game anymore, you're afforded that time. For me, I want to go back to school.
Oh,
I want to really, really be engaged with the culture and society and affect change.
I'm done.
Okay, that's all good and fine.
Yeah, right.
But at no point should you have to quit your career prematurely to do those things. If you're lucky, you're good past the age of 35.
He's bored.
If you're lucky, he is bored. Isn't that alarming?
He's bored.
Isn't that alarming?
He's bored
to a degree?
At this stage of his career. What did he say to the other? What was the other one that he just talked to? Bill Simmons. I've been in the league for 8 years now. I understand this league now. Like now, you're some super vet.
I've seen it all. Like no, you haven't.
You
seen it
freaking
all.
Freaking have it.
I've seen everything. No, probably not.
I'm a little annoyed. A little annoyed.
He's a question. Next question.
What are you talking about the end?
How confident are you that you'll be a Celtic long term? Here we go again. He's been asked.
What truly is a Celtic?
He has been asked this six different ways.
Is the Celtic a jumping leprechaun or is it a four-leaf clover?
He says, we have an incredible organization. I think we've positioned ourselves for the future. We're taking steps in the right direction. I've been transparent with Celtics GM and president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. He didn't say that. It's just in the story. He says, transparent with the ownership of what my intentions are going into this season. And after the season, what conversations are going to be needed to have in order for us to get on the same page? What I really want, which is to bring our team, all of us together, to a championship with all of us being healthy. That's where my focus is, and when the time comes, I'll be ready to answer.
Three keywords.
So a lot of people there read the part where it says, we need to get on the same... No, he's not saying they're not on the same page.
Right.
He's talking about... And I think it's probably a poor choice of words to use that because people say, what? I mean, you're not on the same page?
Yeah, two different
strategies.
It means,
to agree and come together on a contract and a long-term plan for the future. That's all that is. I don't think it was much of an answer. You can read into it however you want. But, again, after listening to him on Bill Simmons and what he said since, I feel like if he's not committing, it's not because he doesn't like the Celtics. It's because he's leaving his options
yeah,
open.
I do think this, though. I think he had three key words in here. We, us, and our.
It's not oh, them.
Not it's they. Not they. It's like they have a good org. They have a good team. He's looking at that as I'm part of this. We've criticized guys that have said that before, like, you know, they've done a good job. And he talks about, you know, Terry Rozier and they got that. He's right. He was sitting at that point. But now you're talking about the future, and he envisions himself healthy, and this is us, and this is what we're building, and this is what we are, and that's a good thing coming from Kyrie Irving.
I would agree
that's
with
good.
That.
That's good.
I would agree. John in Manchester with a thought on David Price. Hey, John. John!
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? John.
Hey, so I just want to know what happened to David Price, all his allergies, the carpal tunnel. I feel like it only lasted for about a week, and it was just to get out of that one start against the Yankees. Wanted to hear guys' thoughts.
It's a great question. I mean, because he didn't pitch down in Florida, right? I mean, there's no allergies down in Florida because of the humidity. Or you have to go over overseas to where, you know, it's swampy. Because you don't have the type of pollen that we have here with seasons. So now all of a sudden he goes out to Seattle. He's fine. Now he's traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota, I think, they have some issues. He has some allergies there. A lot of woods.
That's what I'm thinking. I feel like it was all just a ploy just to get out of the starting at the Yankees, and now he's all fine. Then
yep. Three innings tonight, baby, if the allergies kick
yep.
in.
Yep, I think it was all in his head.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were really him being hurt, well, how's he been able to pitch so well and go on the run that he's gone on?
Things are going so good for him, and he had to open his mouth and step in it. Six straight. Looked really good. He said all the right things. He's actually giving you nicknames last week. You know, Bogey, you know, Jackie, you know, Holtie, all of them. Felt normal. And he had to go and Ricky Bobby dad it. Just let's throw a wrench in this sucker. Things are going too bad, or too well right now. I'm going to screw it up. You're right. He's got a sickness. He's the martyr. He needs to be a martyr.
Martyr complex, as yep. you taught me, so. That's one that you brought into my world.
Yep, we were at the baseball tavern. Figured that one out.
Sure did.
Pretty cool. We're down in baseball, you know, right there.
But he's so unlikable. He's so
detestable.
Totally unlikable.
Detestable.
I'm never gonna. You know, I've come to the conclusion. Like his stubbornness with just wanting to be miserable means that even when he does have success, you're not going to feel good about it for him.
Like even Josh,
you're just going to be happy that he did it and finally accomplished something.
Josh Beckett at the
for
end
the team and for, know, the, for the franchise.
Beckett at the end was sort of a prick and this and that, and then he broke down and he wasn't good. But you know what? Beckett went out, earned you, won you a championship. There's something. When you come here and you win, it sort of gives you that little stamp. Trying to think of John, you know, Lackey came back in shape. I think re-earned the respect of people. Carl Crawford is what Carl Crawford was. It didn't work out here. Same thing with even Gonzalez. You don't even look at those two guys and say, boy, they were just unlikable, detestable people. This guy is detestable. He can't get out of Boston fast enough. I hope he gets rocked tonight.
No, I don't. See.
I do.
That's the difference between you and I.
You're asking for it? Go. You want to be a jerk? Root against you. Rock him.
No, I don't root
Take
against
him. Take him downtown.
I don't root against him. I don't root against him. I don't root against the team ever.
Yeah. I hope he's finally That's found something that he can get the rhythm. He can every few starts he's doing well, then he spouts off at the mouth.
Spouts off.
Keeps
tells
going.
Everyone,
keeps going.
Tell everyone to bleep off.
Until the Yankees come to town.
And then move on. Today's takeaways on Zolak and Bertrand are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's
time now for today's takeaway, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life, the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Speaking of the Boston Red Sox, good old Johnny Miller. Pretty much at every game, logs a lot of time, travel, standing there waiting for the little sound bites from players. And I don't think there were any negative questions or that he was prodding David Price, but here's the audio of Johnny Miller and David Price being a defiant prick.
David, could you talk about you and Weezer's death 7-8 times out? You've been unhittable.
Just like we talked about after my last game, you know, it's the same question that was asked. Just better fastball command,
How about your confidence level now?
When you asked me 5 days ago, you know, my confidence hasn't changed. You're 2 for 2 with the same questions right now. 2 for 2.
2 for 2. Ooh. 2 for 2. Take him deep. Deep, 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 deep.
Way back. Don't ask him about his confidence. Don't ask him how he's feeling.
Ugh. Unlikable. Detestable.
Jeez. Nothing alike there.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. You know, I did not know.
2 for 2.
When the street, the group of the street teamers told me the other day.
2 for 2. Yeah.
That the impression that Jim Murray does of David Price, and they've covered this on Felger Mass, so you've probably heard this. I'm rehashing it because I didn't know it. The impression was of David Price on Felger Mass, which is obviously simulcast on NBC Sports Boston,
awesome.
What used to be Comcast Sportsnet. David Price saw it on TV, on that TV station, and then when he saw Drelick, he blew up on Drelick in New York.
Shut up.
Because of the mic flag. Because he had just seen the impression. Did you know this?
Wait a minute. Really?
Did you know that? And apparently that was revealed by one of the beat writers based at one of the New Hampshire papers on a podcast on CNLS Media. And I guess Felger Mass covered this. So those guys will be in here in a minute. They give us the thumbs up or thumbs down.
This is great.
But this
news
goes all the way back to last season. I had totally missed that nugget of information.
This is awesome.
That Jim Murray's impression pissed off David Price. Price saw Drelick there with Drelick and, you know, Murray work at the same place, and it was like, I'm gonna take it out on this guy.
And Drelick didn't want to talk about it, right?
Yes.
He was prodded on it. Yeah.
Do we know this for keep it between fact?
This is according to another beat writer who was there.
Yep, that saw it.
Wow. Knew this.
You know what they need to do?
The way it was told to me was that they played it on Felger Mass. Again, I need to verify this with Felger Mass. And then that the guy who was on the podcast was like sort of mad that it got out because he didn't want to come back to him because he knew.
So they need to do the show, Mike, Tony, and David Price, and change Murray's name to David Price. Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and read the headlines. Yeah. You know. 2 for 2.
There's that.
2 for 2.
Last night, I can confirm this. We were watching Evil Genius.
Yep.
Zoe, that is different from The Staircase. Those are two different shows.
I'm talking about The Staircase.
I know.
That was a creepy staircase.
Here's one other thing that's starting to annoy me. We've gotten a lot of response saying we got to watch The Staircase and The Staircase is better. No way The Staircase is better.
Wait a minute.
I've been watching The Staircase.
Can I touch sides? Can I touch your sides? How about him? You knew he was guilty. He was like, can I touch your sides? I replaced all the stairs. They were mostly cracked or blood.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I took him down head first.
That's not The Staircase. That's
why don't you do a genius. Why don't you do a headline with Curtis on his?
He wanted to avoid it. Why don't you do... All right, why don't you do the headline then? Never mind.
Staircase. I remember Staircase.
On the side.
Staircase.
On the side.
Watch. Can I touch it? Can I touch it?
That guy was in his glory showing them around.
Oh,
that
he was like peacocking like crazy.
That in and of itself weirdo. Should have been so suspicious that this guy was enjoying that to the degree he was.
Yep. And I cut the body up here, and I bought the tape. Here's a receipt for the tape that I bought at Lowe's. Just like, dude, show him everything.
So this,
let me show you where I keep the good stuff.
We got to figure this out right now. Let's get it down. Zoe has an event in 2 hours. He's afraid he's not going to be home by 10 o'clock for it.
9 o'clock.
We're doing 10 o'clock now?
No.
9 p.m.
Can we watch the last two episodes starting at 9 p.m.?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm in.
Are we going to tweet or are we going to text? Because we were doing both last night.
We'll do text.
And it was distracting.
Let's do tweet only.
I want to enjoy it.
Tweet only.
I want to enjoy it.
What's our hashtag going to be?
We need a hashtag for
ZB Evil Genius.
Yeah. ZBEG.
ZBEG. Rolls right off the tongue.
ZBEG.
You make a hashtag.
It's a punk club in New York.
Yeah. Hey, Felger, close yay now. Or nay? Did that happen the way I described it?
I don't know.
Murray will know.
I think Murray
Felger
needs to
doesn't remember. I heard this the other day.
Even if it is partly
that's
true,
how
Murray
it played out. You guys played
it.
The clip at some point.
I do know that. When Price blew up at Eckersley, it was because Eckersley was doing a version of Jim Murray's impression of Price on the mound.
Tug, tug. That's right.
That's a fact.
Deep breath. Tug,
because
tug.
Go back and listen. We've played all the time. Eckersley was doing a sort of a tug, tug, Deep breath.
Sigh.
Sigh. Spit. He did that on the broadcast.
Right, right. He did it on NASA.
And that was the night Price
no,
blew up
this
at
is
him.
About the impression. So this is something different. Let's find out.
Let's mine this, shall we?
Let's workshop this quickly. Jimmy, is that how it went down?
This is what
Jimmy says. Yes, that's exact. I had it right.
Murray needs a bigger a little stuffed animal called Astro.
The impression that Murray did set off Price. And that's why he blew up on Drellick.
Okay, but we need to take our time and find out for sure. This is what June 20th is made for in sports talk radio.
Yes,
I mean, this is what we should be talking about in depth. So let's not rush it. We'll take as much time as we need. We can revisit tomorrow if necessary.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll get all the details sorted out.
So tonight, we back-to-back, episodes 3 and 4, hashtag ZBEG.
ZBEG.
Or you want,
that's so
you want ZB
I just sent out a tweet
genius.
From the Zoe and Bertrand account. Hashtag ZBEG.
Okay, here
it
we
stays.
Go.
9 p.m. tonight, episodes 3 and 4.
Okay, very good. All right, Zoe was singing today. I know that comes as a shock to everybody.
Back in no long ago, sentimental for now to be created, yet to be created. Once in his life, when to found saw to his behavior, and then a thief that's vented his way last. We're winning all. Come on, get a moon in there. Get a moon in there. Come on, do it. Start to wrap the moonshine.
There it is. Moonshine.
Moonshine.
That
today.
Counts. That counts.
That's a moon.
See, I got Elvis forced.
That's moon.
Yeah. I was rolling.
Otherwise, it would never happen.
Yeah, right.
Nice weather out there, man.
All right, so this is going to work out perfectly.
You've told Bloody us that no less Bloody than a dozen times today.
Yeah. Will David Price still be in the game when we begin our Evil Genius viewing party starting at 9 p.m.?
Take him out. Too
yes.
8:10 start tonight in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will, too.
Nope.
Mini sucks.
He gets rocked tonight.
This is something else that is left out of the conversation, that the Red Sox fell apart last night. It's a bad team. They played a bad team out there. They suck.
Well, center fielder looked good. He's out there for defensive purposes.
Who, JBJ?
Yeah. He's such a good defender.
Funny how they don't want to tweet out the highlight of him letting the ball go below his glove.
I mean, they had that 104 miles.
You can find him throwing that strike to home plate in a thousand different places, but no one wants to mention the ball going right under his glove. Funny how that happens.
I've seen the 103-mile-an-hour strike from center field 22 times now.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that other play too much.
I'm tweeting that one out.
Again, how many times? Who is it that struck out three times in the game once in his career? The Joe DiMaggio?
Yeah, Joe DiMaggio.
JBJ's
20. Jones.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight on JBJ is awesome. He hates
it. Felger Mazur coming up next. Enjoy. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10, 9 p.m. tonight.
Thanks for listening to us this
spring. ZBEG. Evil Genius.
And then a fever's vented. His way lost.